now we're dealing with things that happen, the plastic, when it breaks down, becomes microfibers, essentially. Well,
it's because it takes more than 400 years to decompose, to break down completely. So what do you think happens? You know, it's been 60 years. It's really not that far along in the process. Right. So it turns into microfibers.
Yeah.
That are so small we can't see them, but it's still plastic.
Yeah.
And guess what? Animals from the bottom of the food chain up are ingesting these microplastics now.
Yeah, so if
or
you
have been.
Right. And you imagine, you know, most people are omnivores, so they get their food from both plants and animals. So when we ingest animals, we ingest whatever microfibers, plastic microfibers they might have in them. So obviously any seafood is very high chance of having microfibers because a lot of plastics end up in waterways.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch. Hello, and thank you for checking out this week's edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back, and we are excited to be talking about a couple things near and dear to our hearts. The first is more of a emotional kind of touch base because it is a very timely moment. It is Father's Day this weekend. And obviously fathers in our roles in our lives, you as a father figures in our lives in general. We were talking about that and kind of how that's played a role for us in contributing to the people we are today. And then also another that is more of a cause that we've been really tuned into lately as more and more research comes out, more studies come out around the prevalence of plastic, not just in our lives as consumers, but microplastics particularly. This is something that I'm sure if you've had the radio or TV or picked up a newspaper in the last 6 months, have seen articles about, but it just continues to grow as far as the impact and actually looking at not just the situation today, but really what we as human beings have been a part of over the years. And it's going to lead into kind of some things that we've been trying to do over the last year or so. And hopefully it will share and inspire some other people as well.
Yeah, I think both important topics. And the first one, as Shannon introduced, that near and dear to our hearts and probably a lot of people's hearts out there is kind of going we're going to roll into our training recap that we normally do each week. Father's Day, as you guys hear this, will be have already passed, but obviously great topic to talk about. And we're going to talk about kind of how our fathers influenced our health and fitness. So our training recaps will be basically kind of what our father's kind of fitness, I guess, I don't know.
Approach.
Approach of fitness. Yeah, exactly. So I'll take the first lead.
Father's first. Okay. You are father. Thank you. Can go first today.
I appreciate that. So my dad always grew up playing a lot of team sports. Well, I shouldn't say just team sports. Really good baseball player and was a good wrestler also. And, you know, he kind of really, I don't know, like he didn't influence, never pressured us to do either of those sports, but both my brother and I end up doing both of those sports. My brother had a little bit more of a love for baseball than I did. But always growing up, my dad was very physically active, played a lot of church league softball and was very physically active, was always the leadoff hitter in softball because he always usually got on base. Whether he didn't hit for power very much, but really always put the ball in play and usually could actually beat out a lot of throws to first base because he was pretty fast for most of the time. Yes, exactly. So played left field also, which is also a pretty important position about, you know, having a lot of speed to catch balls and whatnot. So he did that. Also, when growing up, he played indoor volleyball. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but I remember going to a lot of his games.
I didn't know.
I did go to a lot of his games where he played indoor volleyball with people, and it was very, from what I remember, it was pretty intense. So it was like they weren't just taking it easy,
it's not like a beer in one hand, ball in the other.
Well, maybe the other guys had beer. My dad, that was definitely not my dad's style. He did not drink beer. He always took his sporting events very seriously. So his approach to, but basically it's just his hard work approach to all his sports and, being physically fit, rubbed off on both my brother and I. It definitely influenced me where I am today, and kind of later on in life, in recent years, he had to have knee surgery because he's also physically active outside of just sports. His job is also job and free time is all about physical labor, essentially.
Yeah, he works on a farm.
Yes, so he's always very physically active, and finally he's had to do some knee surgery. No, I don't think it was any ACL tears or anything. I think it was just some maybe cleaning up some
like the meniscus and stuff like that.
Some maybe some just cartilage, maybe some bone and bone action. I'm sure probably wore away after a while. But now he's very kind of regimented on working out in, of course, my room got converted to an exercise room at our house, in my parents' house.
That's like fate.
Yeah, that's how it goes, right? So, he's got elliptical, stationary bike, another type of cross trainer. It's like a Stairmaster kind of thing, some heavy weights, some barbells and stuff. So he's very kind of particular, very dedicated to his workout routine. I remember when we were visiting a month or so ago, like I knew he got up first thing and worked out. That was like 5:30 a.m. So, and his workout room was pretty close to both our room and of course Ella's room. So I somehow was able to convince him to be like, hey, maybe you work out a little bit later. Or
work out in the afternoon.
Yeah, so he did change around his schedule for us, which is, what he would do anyways. But like I said, his definitely, probably overall, his hard work and also his dedication to team and making sure he put the team first, I think, always kind of rubbed off on my brother and I and gave us our approach to not only sports and teamwork, but kind of like everyday life. So definitely appreciate him bestowing those traits upon both of us.
Well, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, babe.
To Mr. Birch.
Mm-hmm.
Not you.
Me?
The other Birch.
Oh, okay.
Papa Birch?
Yes. Call him Papa Birch.
Poppy Birch.
Yeah, that's right. It is Poppy.
That's what Ella calls him.
Oh, boy.
I would say that it's interesting because our fathers are very different in what the areas they focused on, but my dad was intensely active my whole life with a very small percentage of time where he was basically unable to move from a laying position for weeks and weeks. Ever since I was a kid, he was always like really into doing, outdoor work. He was always building something, never finishing it, but always starting to build projects around the house. And he was incredibly regimented. If the gym that he went to was open, he would be at the pool at like 5:30 in the morning every day. And he would do, miles of swimming. I mean, he put everybody else to shame, and he's a super strong swimmer. He swam his whole life. So he was not the team sport. Like, that's kind of the difference, is that he was not about the team sport. He was all about teaching me, super important to be active, but it's also, it's really important for you and your well-being to move your body and challenge yourself and make yourself that kind of competition. And I mean, he looked like he was probably like a linebacker.
Yeah.
My whole life growing up, he was just, he's almost 6 feet tall and he's just built like a wall. Mm-hmm. He's wide shouldered, muscly dude. And yeah, I mean, when people met him, they're like, dude, is your father a football player? And I was like, no, he's a swimmer. And they're just like, what? So I think that that definitely played into kind of my perspective, and kind of I did get into team sports in high school, but I also really had an appreciation for challenging myself. He also really showed me how important physical activity and dedication was to overcoming like major injuries and problems. I mean, he had a herniated disc and he had back surgery on that. I think I was probably like 7 or 8 maybe, but he was in a like half body cast, unable to stand up. I mean, he was laying down all day. He was like on his stomach for weeks. I'm just miserable. And when he was done, he found his way back to the pool immediately as soon as like he was out of that cast. And he was using that to heal himself. And he, to this day, says that anything can be fixed by a swim. Mm-hmm. He's like, if I'm not feeling good, if my body's hurting, he's like, I get back in the pool. He's like, it cures like 95% of what ails me. Mm-hmm. And he, despite having a lot of vices in his life and being really hard on his body, I mean, like cutting his leg open with a chainsaw, getting in horrible motorcycle accidents, just doing things that were not great for his body and health. He is incredibly healthy. And I swear it has to do with his like dedication to activity. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's still to this day, he's what, I don't even know how old my dad is, but he's definitely a great example of someone who has dedicated their life to something and stuck with it. And I'm sure he could swim most healthy, like 30-year-olds under the water. Like,
yeah,
for sure. So I think that definitely rubbed off. And I mean, we've talked about the impact of fathers in particular on kind of their kids, and how the best thing that you can do is really to be an example and to show, not just talk. And like, you know, I think that sometimes parents, you know, they play the role of preaching, but it's really the action that makes the lasting impression. And I mean, it sounds like for both of us, mm-hmm. that was so true.
Yeah.
And it definitely rubbed off.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I love swimming. That's one thing I regret, or I guess I don't have to regret, but I wish I did more of.
Yeah.
You know, I was used to be big into it when I was training for triathlons, and it's definitely a beautiful, you know, very obviously total body, but also huge in the fact that it is very kind of meditative.
It is.
So, and
super intense on your body. Holy cow.
Yeah, you got to get into a zone when you swim. It's especially if you want to do it for distance. It's repetitive, but like I said, you can get into kind of like a flow state,
mm-hmm.
where it's kind of like long distance running, you know. But even more intense, because you're not really supposed to hold you're not holding your breath, but it's you get into a rhythm, and it's like, unfortunately, like with long distance running, you can run for a long period of time, so you don't have to run 25 yards or 50 yards and turn around and go the back.
Yeah,
that has another aspect, unless you're swimming.
Lap swimmer.
Yeah, unless you're swimming in the ocean.
Open
but
water.
It's definitely something that, I mean, I'm hopefully get on a little bit more later on in life, I can get back into. Because I appreciate it. And your dad, like you said, that's one thing I remember know about him for sure, is whenever he comes down here, he has to find somewhere that has a pool. So
he won't stay anywhere that he can't get in the water. I mean, he's almost like a merman. If there was a merman, it would be my dad.
Merman!
He can't live without the water for a certain amount of time. He just, you know, shrivel up and, I don't know.
It's like Splash. Splash,
the movie. But
in male version.
But the man version. Yes. There's a movie idea, Hollywood.
Kind of speaking of related to Splash and maybe oceans and our next topic, somewhat related.
Way to make a segue.
Yeah, that's a segue. We're going to talk about the amount of plastics that are kind of not, I shouldn't say slowly, but are accumulating in the environment now. It's a lot of reports, as Shannon said in the beginning, a lot of, you know, either listening to the radio or reading kind of online publications, the amount of plastics in the environment is just becoming, it's just increasing over time. I'm sure everybody's heard about, you know, recycling your plastics, but we found a good article on Mind Body Green, you know, a website we always, or not always, but
frequently
visit for our podcast topics. And they had some kind of staggering stats. You know, since the large-scale production of plastics, which started about 60 years ago, 8.3 billion metric tons of plastics has been produced. And the same study, and this obviously these stats came from a study, 6.3 billion metric tons became plastic waste, and only 9% had been recycled.
And I feel like that is a study that's been, that's made a lot of headlines. That study alone, it's been that 9%. Like people feel like, oh, I recycle, so it's fine. But 9% yeah. of 6.3 billion metric tons, that means a whole lot is left in landfills.
Yeah, and the thing about the recycling, I'm sure this is another topic we can get into, but sure, you put your plastics or whatever, your recyclables into your recycle bin, but once they go to the sorting facility, they determine whether or not it's recyclable or not. So a lot of the stuff you put in your recycle bin probably doesn't get recycled. It probably gets put back in the landfill because it's deemed not recyclable, I guess, if that's a word. But anyways, that's another topic for another day. But obviously, all this amount of plastic waste that's kind of floating around for, you know, not to, for literally floating and figuratively floating around in our environment is broken down. Sorry.
Well, and have you seen, there was one image that was making the rounds, I think it was a month or two ago. It was this huge manta ray swimming in the ocean. I think it was off the coast of Bali.
Mm-hmm.
And it was swimming through this beautiful, like, crystal clear turquoise water that was filled with plastic.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, filled.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about the
it
Pacific.
It was so sad.
The Pacific Ocean trash patch or the, you know, garbage patch or whatever. And it's, and then there's another one, I think might be in the Atlantic Ocean. They talk about the size of Rhode Island. I mean, there's really, it's evident. And I mean, it's a real issue. And I think there are a couple scientists now and very creative and innovative people that are creating ways to collect this waste out in the ocean. But unfortunately, there's, now we're dealing with things that happen, the plastic, when it breaks down, it becomes microfibers, essentially.
Well, it's because it takes more than 400 years to decompose, like to break down completely. So what do you think happens? You know, it's been 60 years. It's really not that far along in the process.
Right.
So it turns into microfibers
that
are so small we can't see them, but it's still plastic.
Yeah.
And guess what? Animals from the bottom of the food chain up are ingesting these microplastics now.
Yeah, so if
or
you
have been.
Right, and you imagine, you know, we get, most people are omnivores, so they get their food from both plants and animals. So when we ingest animals, we ingest whatever microfibers, plastic microfibers they might have in them. So obviously any seafood is very high chance of having microfibers because a lot of plastics end up in waterways. So, but also, which is interesting, is that people who drink bottled water are very susceptible to ingesting microfibers, because a lot of bottled water out there is made composed of material that is not, you know, BPA free or, what's the word? It's not phthalates or phthalates, but it's like, it's another component of plastic that breaks down easily, especially like exposed to sun damage. But it's also very, can be detrimental to, you know, different physical kind of, or, you know, human biological systems like hormone production. You know, the BPA, you guys see a lot of on plastic bottles, BPA free. That's a huge thing that goes on plastic bottles and whatnot. And BPA, gosh, I'm trying to think what the whole, what does it stand for?
Bisphenols.
Bisphenols?
And I can't phthalates. Even say these words.
Phthalates. Phthalates. Yeah, so those both, I know those are huge when we were, I remember doing research and listening to podcasts where when you were pregnant about how to avoid any type of plastic, anything, especially that doesn't mark BPA-free and this other thing, so how detrimental it could be to the development of the fetus. But it's interesting. I heard this article tells us that the average human could be consuming up to 70,000 particles of microplastic per year. It's even more for people that drink bottled water instead of tap water. And then, of course, I heard another thing on the radio, as you mentioned, radio kind of stories about how the average American, not, I don't know if it's the average American, probably worldwide, but could be ingesting up to 5 grams of plastic per year, which is the equivalent of a credit card.
Oh, my God.
So it's a huge issue, and gosh, I mean, trying to clean up the waterways has been something that that's just been in my lifetime. We've talked about trying to do that and try to be better about, you know, reducing plastic waste, and I think it's time. I mean, we've actually took some steps to try to do so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that only recently, I mean, when it's funny because when we were kids, I remember that the big thing was save the trees, save the forests.
Yeah.
And it was all about use paper. It was like, you know, don't use paper, make sure you recycle, stop using cardboard, stop using paper plates, like all this stuff. Oh my gosh, so wasteful. And now we're seeing the return of paper products that paper have shells. That are really trying to replace these. I mean, granted, they're like, a lot of them are recycled, and I mean, paper products in general have become a lot more sophisticated, but that's becoming the norm. I mean, even Amazon, I've received paper package deliveries, like the soft envelopes have been made out of paper and have had paper pulp filling instead of plastic, which was super encouraging. And I mean, it's when you actually think, the issue now is not like, okay, well, how do I recycle more? Recycling is really not the answer. Mm-hmm. We are still not at a point in our society, in our like process. Industries do not have a cost-effective solution to really recycle a wide variety of plastics. And so that's really the reason most like towns, businesses, governments, they don't want to pay for it.
Yep.
They can't afford it. So there are better things coming about, but really it's the fact that we're producing so damn much. And it's in everything. Like, just stop and do like a survey of your house, and for 1 week just watch what's coming in. So to your point, we started doing this about a year ago. And it was mind-boggling. I mean, it was everywhere I looked. It was like every product from, you know, my soap and my face wash and my makeup and, you know, the clothes that we buy, they're on plastic. They've got plastic packaging. Your groceries, dear gosh, your groceries.
Yeah.
Look in your grocery cart and look at how much freaking plastic. Just from, like, you think you're, oh, I'm going to be healthy, I'm going to be good for the environment, I'm going to eat loads of produce. What are you putting your produce in?
Mm-hmm.
Plastic. There's all these great brands now that offer you organic produce, pre-packaged. Trader Joe's, we love them. Horrible offenders of this.
Yeah.
They have so much freaking plastic in their products, and they've actually pledged to cut back because a lot of other companies are now stepping up. The problem is that it's the fact that plastic is now a part of so much of our lives, so much of everything and every bit that we touch and see. Actually reducing your consumption, that is really the only way that we can significantly make a difference.
Right.
Because if we're continuing to put plastic out there, this is going to continue to affect our environment and thereby our health.
Yep.
This is one of those issues where this may sound like a, you know, a tree hugger cause. And why are you guys talking about this? Because this is a fitness and health health podcast because your environment directly impacts your own health. Mm-hmm. It directly impacts the health of the next generation and your children. So if you don't think it affects you, oh, but it does. It directly affects you. So getting smart in not just, you know, where to put that piece of plastic trash, but to actually start being proactive and cutting back your consumption. I mean, it's a lot of, I'm sure, like the straws. You said the straws earlier. One of the biggest things that they realize, like, oh my gosh, we use a lot of straws. Like, you get straws, plastic silverware. I probably go out to eat like once, maybe twice a week on like a really busy week. I always get plasticware. Now I try to either not take it, like I'll give it back, or I will start reusing it. Like I will be the weirdo in the kitchen at my office washing the plasticware and putting it in my office to use again later, because it's that single-use plastic that is super big offender.
I mean, we love Tupperware. We're huge Tupperware, and there's even more specifics to get into Tupperware, you know.
We have mostly glass, though, now.
Yeah, we were going to glass now, but, I mean, we've had Tupperware that obviously we just wash and reuse, so we don't buy the single package salads or anything like that, or, you know, luckily some places like, I know Publix and Whole Foods, they have cardboard salad boxes now instead of the plastic ones. But like I said, bringing our utensils anywhere, like my lunchbox, I always have my own utensils. I don't get plastic. But it's just so commonplace whenever we do get takeout. I mean, takeout is just like...
It is.
Between like the styrofoam boxes and then the massive amount of plastics they just throw in to each bag.
The food and like restaurant industry are some of like the most, I think, heavily under kind of surveillance right now, because, I mean, it's not just restaurants. It's not just grocery stores. It's the whole industry.
And I think it's good because I worked with or I lived with a guy in Colorado. He worked for a company that produced... basically, you know, takeout boxes and takeaway silverware that was biodegradable. It was made out of corn.
Yeah, they which have is, water bottles. You know, and stuff
I guess
like that's
a whole other issue about the corn and monocultures, but it's definitely a step in the right direction, in my opinion. Something that's biodegradable that won't last for 400 years or break down and get into your back into your system. That's what something is more optimal than these things. So from some of the additions we had here in our family in our house is the reusable Ziploc bags. I think that's the one that I think has been.
Yes, I mean in terms of the waste that we create.
Yeah,
I do the bulk of the grocery shopping, so I made a proactive choice that I try not to use the plastic bags whenever I can. I bought the mesh bags,
right,
which you can buy on Amazon. They're super cheap. No, you don't get charged more for using them. They're super light. They don't even register on like the grocery scales.
Right.
Use them, buy them. They're awesome. They come in all different sizes. So that helped from that standpoint because we were buying a lot less prepackaged.
Yep.
Like I really tried to cut back on prepackaged. And even when I'm going through the produce section, we now get most of our produce from Sprouts because they have so much more kind of like open.
Exactly.
Just kind of grab it and go. And I just try not to use any of that plastic. You know, we use reusable grocery bags as well. So we're trying not to use too much in terms of plastic bags.
Yeah.
And also buying products that are packaged not in plastic whenever and wherever possible. I mean, being a conscious consumer, it's a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
When you start actually seeing this stuff, it is overwhelming.
Yeah.
But on the home front, getting rid of like I've stopped using plastic pretty much anywhere I can find. I shop now brands that are like eco-friendly in terms of their packaging, and they have mostly glass or cardboard for their packaging. And there's actual like products that have like micro beads that are plastic in them. So I mean, like even like your skincare or like, you know, women, your makeup, that kind of stuff, steering clear of that stuff. But we used, I think, a great deal just because we do a lot of food prep. When you do a lot of food prep, when you cook a lot for yourself, you also kind of need a lot of packaging, you know? And we were cereal offenders for plastic wrap, Ziploc bags, all of that stuff.
Right.
We made the conscious decision together. I'm not going to say I pushed it on you. I think you were pretty like open to it, which totally I was thrilled about. We ditched our plastic bags. We have not bought plastic bags in a year. And we ditched our plastic wrap, and I got two different products that have been in circulation since. And it's the, I think it's like silicon or something, silicone.
The bags, the reusable
bags.
Yeah.
They're, the brand we got is the Stasher bags. They come in different sizes. You can cook in them.
Mm-hmm.
You can freeze them. You can dishwasher. They're dishwasher safe. Looks like you microwave. You can boil them. I mean, really super awesome.
Yeah.
It just takes the place of so many things that you would need plastic for. But they also last a really long time. So, and you don't need as many as you might think. Mm-hmm. So I bought like a starter pack and like a couple others, and that's lasted us a year. And then the other thing I got was the beeswax wrap,
right?
Which is basically a cotton sheet of some size that has wax around it. And those serve really good as like the seal, things that you need to seal that are maybe like it's over a bowl.
Yeah.
Something that's not going to go in a bag necessarily. Fruit. Even I found it's amazing at keeping like fresh bread fresh.
Yeah.
Never have I been able to keep a loaf of bread fresh in Florida since I moved here until I found that wrap.
Yeah.
And it's like soft, and it's like the, you know, the day after you baked it. It's really quite impressive. But those things, I think you said that kind of you're the one that rolls the trash out each week.
Yeah.
And you've seen our overall like trash volume go down.
Yeah. Yeah, trash, yeah. We still need to work on our recycling, but I think we're going in the right direction. So
Yeah.
No, I agree. And like compared to, you know, we have two collection days and we only roll it out once a week compared to a lot of trash cans I see on the street, we're definitely in the minority. So I know we just kind of need more people to kind of move in that direction and see the importance of limiting the amount of plastic you have in your life, because it's coming back to really affect our, like you said, affect every aspect of our health now.
Yeah.
Too.
And I mean, we're starting to see more research. There's links in this particular article that link to, again, the impact of what those microfibers of plastic are doing to people and the impact on the endocrine system, particularly that controls your hormones and everything, that controls your body, therefore your whole health pretty much. Those studies are really just kind of starting to come out. So imagine now that that's being delved into more, it's probably going to be just a continuous flow of research that's going to say this is not a good direction.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like not quite a soapbox. We're not standing in a soapbox. We're kind of in the trenches with everybody else, but no matter what it is, it's even a small change. It really is going to make a difference. And if you can inspire just one other person to do something similar, that will make measurable difference.
Right.
So
that's what we're here to do.
Yeah. So, you know, for your environment that then supports and contributes to your health, consider that today.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, pay a special thank you to the dads out there.
Yeah.
Whether yours directly or just those father figures in your life.
Mm-hmm. And maybe if you want
to, they also contributed to your life.
Maybe you want to give thanks to me being a dad, you can give us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page.
Yes.
That's a great way to say thanks.
You can address your reviews for Father's Day to Papa Birch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that, guys. We appreciate you guys listening each week. Don't forget to share the podcast with a friend. Help us reach more people. Spread the good word of fitness to a larger audience. Yes. So you got anything else for them this week?
Not this week. I think we covered it.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Happy Father's Day.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks.